الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, as we were talking about the rights of people in whatever capacity it is, and we were speaking about it. So we were speaking about the rights of people in whatever capacity that is, and those rights have to be fulfilled. The reason why is Sharia is about fulfilling rights. Either the rights belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it belongs to the makhluq, to the creation. Either it belongs to the creator or it belongs to the creation. So it's all about fulfilling rights. That is what deen is about. Either you're fulfilling the rights of Allah, which is performing your salah, performing your hajj, your zakah, giving your zakah, fasting in the month of Ramadan. All these are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you are fulfilling the rights of the servants of Allah, which is being subservient to the parents, fulfilling the rights of your neighbors, fulfilling the rights of your kinship, of your relatives, etc., etc. So these are all rights. So this is what deen is all about. This is what Sharia is all about. This is why it's so important that we understand the importance of fulfilling rights, and we understand that whatever is going to be asked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be about rights, and especially about the rights of the servants of Allah, about the rights of the creation of Allah. These are the most important rights in terms of being asked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. He will have, or He will forgive when it comes to rights that belong to Him out of His sheer mercy. But when it comes to the rights belonging to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no forgiving. There is only justice. There is only justice. No forgiving. So if a person has not fulfilled the rights of a person, and he left this world without fulfilling, and if that right is not fulfilled, then he will have to repay that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way he can save himself from that. He will have to fulfill it. That is why it is more important that we understand the rights of our fellow members, fellow servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahabas that, do you know who is going to be the most destitute and the most poor in the day of judgment? Who is the most poor? He asked. He asked the question, who is the most poor in your eyes? The reply came, is that person who doesn't have dirham or dinar, he doesn't have wealth, he is the most poor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the most poor is he that on the day of judgment, in spite of having a'mal equivalent to the mountains of Uhud, yet because of all the shortcomings and because of not fulfilling the rights of his fellow members and fellow Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him repay on that day. So much so that once he has repaid everything, he will have no good action left. Yet the line of people whom he still owes, whom he still has to repay, has not diminished. It's still there. And then what will happen? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the angels that their bad deeds should be put on his shoulders. So their bad deeds will be taken off and will be put on that person, the person who defaulted or who did not fulfill the rights of that people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the angels to take the bad a'mal from them and put it on his shoulders. And he will be then thrown into the fire of hell with all those bad deeds. So in spite of having so much a'mal, in spite of having huge quantity of good a'mal to the equivalent of more than Mount Uhud, it's just an example that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving, that he had many numerous uncountable amount of good deeds, but those good deeds did not help him. Instead, he was left nothing. He was left with nothing. He had nothing at the end. So this person is the real poor, is the real destitute. But in spite of having so many hajj done, in spite of having so many salat on his book of accounts, on his books of deeds, in spite of have done so many fasting, in spite of giving so much in charity, yet in the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be the person who would do justice, and to, in fulfilling that justice, he will have nothing left. He will have nothing left. So this is the true poor person. Why? It's because he did not fulfill the rights of his fellow human beings. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him a destitute on the day of judgment. So he is the poor person. So this is why, my dear respected mothers, elders, it is important that we know what rights we have to give to others. It is important that we know whom we have to give our rights and whom we have to be subservient to and to whom we have to give service to. All this we have to know so that we are able to fulfill those rights. And this is what deen is all about. And this is what Shariat is all about. Is either fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or fulfilling the rights of the fellow Muslim, fellow human beings. That is it. That is the whole deen in a nutshell. Fulfilling those rights. So this is why, my dear respected brothers, elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when mentioning about this right, he mentions the most important right was the parents, and then he mentions about rahim. وَعَبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. Qurba, those who are closest, those who are nearest and dearest to you, those you have blood relationship. This is why they are called Dhawil Arham. In Arabic, they are called Dhawil Arham. What does Arham mean? Arham is the plural of Rahim. And Rahim is the mother's womb. Is that? Mother's womb. And in the mother's womb, what is in the mother's womb? It's blood that is forming, shaping into form of baby. And because of the blood collection, one becomes a relative of another. It is that blood connection which we have to uphold. It is that connection that we have to maintain. And I explain why. Although we are all relatives, that we are all one, if we look towards Adam alayhi salam, because we have all come from one father and one mother. We have all come from one father and one mother. So we are all relatives. That's why we have to be kind to everybody. But especially those relatives that you have the closest connection, which you have those blood relationship, these are the relatives that we have to look after more. We have to be more careful. And I explain why. It's because these are the people who will be in your life all the time. These are the people whom you will be associating all the time. These are the people whom you will be living together all the time. These are the people whom you will be sitting and staying and living and connecting all the time. Hence, if it's these people that you do not have good relationship, then how are you going to live a peaceful life? How is it that you are going to live a life of bliss? How is it that you are going to live a life where you'll be able to fulfill the rights of each other? If you are quarreling, if you are fighting, bickering, backbiting, slandering, stealing from each other, hitting each other, if you are doing this day in, day out, then how is it you are going to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you are in a depressed mode all the time, if you are fighting, bickering, slandering, always in that mode, how to destroy him, how to destroy that person, what he did to me, I am going to show him what day is, what night is. And this is all that is going through your mind all the time. How are you going to perform your deeds? It is impossible. If the atmosphere is such hostile, and if you all the time thinking negative, then how is it you'll be able to focus yourself on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned closely, he's mentioned specifically about Dhawil Arham, Dhil Qurba. Wabi Dhil Qurba. This is why he mentioned that. It's because these are the people whom we are going to sit down with. These are the people whom we are going to relate with all the time. So these are the Dhawil Arham. These are your blood collection. These are your blood relationship. And you have to look after them properly. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرحم معلقة بالعرش. That the kinship, he holds to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he holds to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sil, oh Allah, Sil man wasalani waqta' man qata'ani. That those who uphold the relationship of kinship, uphold this bonding, then you uphold your relationship with him. But those who sever that relationship, then sever your relationship with them. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, if we want to have a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the only way it is to uphold the relationship of family. But today, how many brothers are not talking to each other? How many cousins are not talking to each other because of so many certain things? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi, laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi, walakin al-wasila idha wasalahu idha qata'ahu wasalahu." ولكن الواصلة إذا قطعه وصله. That a person, a true person who upholds the relationship of kinship, is not he to whom good is being done, to whom good is being done. That a family has done some good to him, so what does he do? He repays that relationship, he pays back that service that was done to him. He is not the true person who is upholding the relationship. The true person is he. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ إِذَا قَطَعَهُ وَصَلَهُ. That person who is cutting that relationship, in spite of that person's relationship being cut by the other person, he still goes and wants to uphold that relationship. He wants to uphold that relationship. He is the true person. He is the person who is really upholding the relationship. And for him is the glad tidings. And for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make close connection with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of Jannah for him. So today, how many families are not talking to each other? How many uncles, one family is not talking to the other family, yet having this relationship? Why? Today, we always want something in return. We are always hoping that if we do a favor, that favor should be returned. And it is because of that kind of notion is destroying and destroying this relationship and bringing animosity within families. Because we always want a favor in return. When we give something to a relative, we hope that we get something in return. And when we don't get something in return, we get upset. Haji, maine usko uski shaadi mein ye diya, usne kuch nahi diya. We think of this, we think like this, we think like that. Because we gave him this much, he didn't give us anything back. And then animosity is created. And then relationship is broken, is severed, is torn apart. Then we don't talk. We look towards them, not with kindness, but looking towards them as if they are not our family, with hatred. All this happens because of breeding such thoughts and such habits and such rasms within our family. Always wanting something back. And this is why we get upset when we don't get something back. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, tahaddu tahabbu, that give each other presents, give each other hadiyah, that which will inadvertently create muhabbat and love. But we should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we do it only to seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then we will always be content and happy. Regardless of the person give me something or not something, I didn't give it so that he can return a favor to me. I gave it so that I can seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave it so that I can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave it so I can acquire the jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason why I gave it. Mawlana Shatani rahmatullahi alayhi writes in his book, that once a very pious person was sitting, and a person came to him, said, "How are you?" He said, "Alhamdulillah, I am very happy. Because everything is happening according to my wishes." So, subhanallah, everything is happening according to your wishes? Even the Anbiya's didn't get everything what they wanted. How is it that you're getting everything what you wish? He says that I made it my purpose of life, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, I am happy. So whatever Allah does, I am happy. So everything is happening according to my wishes. Something bad happened, I am happy because Allah did it. So whatever Allah decrees, I am happy with. So that means everything happening according to my wishes. So I'm always happy. I am always happy. Nothing is happening against my wishes. Nothing is happening against my wishes. Because I wish that whatever Allah wishes, I am happy. I stay happy with it. And Allah has made me content with it. So I am happy. When I give something, no favors, alhamdulillah. If something, then somebody gives, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. But if we have this notion, this feeling, that when I give something to somebody, especially to relatives, I want something in back, then whatever is given, there's no reward for it. Hence, it is haram. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِن رِبَا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكُمْ مُدْعِفُونَ. So whosoever gives something, so that لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ, so that his wealth will be increased. Because when he gives something, he will get something back in return, maybe more. So in that hope, he gives something. تَفَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has not increased. We all know مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, clearly declares in the Quran, when somebody gives something in charity, Allah increases by many folds. Allah increases by 700 times. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ, the example of that person who gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ, it is like a small grain which he plants, and from that 700 grains has formed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases so much. But when a person gives it with the intention that he gets something in return, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, it will not be increased in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice.